Mafia Podcast.
Thanks, everyone. Sorry for my voice. It's been a rough weekend. I just wanted to introduce the Power Rangers Good vs. Evil panel that we recorded at the 4-State Retro Pop Culture and Comic-Con this past April 30th, 2016 in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. You'll hear Robert Axelrod introduce himself first, and things will get on the way. Sounds a little rough. I won't say sounds, but it starts a little rough. Please bear with it. Thank you, guys, and enjoy the panel.
Axelrod, the voice of Lord Zedd, and Finster on the Mighty Muffin Power Rangers.
Yeah, I'm the host.
Are you going to be the moderator here?
Yeah, I'm the moderator.
Oh, well, moderator.
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, you're the bigger name here, Robert. My name is Christopher Lumser. I run the podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I have flyers here. This panel will be the first to drop on Monday. Our guest today is going to be Robert Axelrod, and hopefully arriving shortly would be Michael Copan and Vernon Wells of Power Rangers Time Force. But for right now, we have Robert Axelrod here, who voiced not only Finster and Lord Zedd in the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
That's correct.
Because you're first on the list, you'll be a little bit easier to do. Out of curiosity, coming up with both Lord Zedd's and Finster's voices out.
Do we have more chairs for these folks?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Sure.
They don't have any more chairs? Well, come on in.
Come on in. Get closer. We won't bite.
We don't have microphones, so we don't.
We don't. Our microphones are not hooked
these
up to speakers.
We
are recording live for my podcast, so.
Oh, well, this is a nice.
Yeah, it's a big crowd. Yeah. Welcome. Again, welcome. If Matt hasn't welcomed you all to the show, welcome to the 4-State SlasherCon. Yeah. Again, this is Michael, Robert Axelrod, Michael Copan, and Vernon Wells will be here shortly, hopefully.
Yeah. All right, so.
What was your inspiration for Finster's and Lord Zedd's voices?
My inspiration for Finster's voice was. Good question. I fashioned him after Ted Lehman, who was a voice actor for many years in our crowd of voice actors. And he probably would have gotten a job if he hadn't retired. He retired the year before to Kentucky. He was a judge in Kentucky, so he went back to doing that. After many years in show business, he went to retire to live with his mother, take care of his mother in Kentucky. So, I sort of fashioned him after how I thought he would do the voice, and came up with Finster. Oh, my queen! So that's how that's what inspired me for Finster. For Lord Zedd was sort of a. I figured.
Lord Zedd was a man. That's what it was.
Lord Zedd was a man. Is right.
Lord Zedd was a man.
That's right.
Yeah.
I figured he'd be sort of like Darth Vader, because Darth Vader was hot at the time, and Saban, you steal from the best, you know, in show business. So I based on that, and I had fashioned a voice for a character a year before for an audition, and I never got the job, but I had to save this voice because it was a great voice. I don't know why I didn't get the job. I guess they were too scared. I blew them away in the room, but of course they have to. When you go out for a job like that, it's usually, you know, I imagine it as the 10 nodding bobbleheads sitting around a table, and you got to get all the bobbleheads to bobble their head like this before you get the job. Bobble the head with a yes. So I imagine the 10 nodding bobbleheads, not enough bobbleheads went. So I didn't get the job for that. So I said, I got to save that voice. And sure enough, Lord Zedd came up. So I started using the voice for Lord Zedd at home. This was at home, just me and the tape recorder. And I made some modifications. I deepened it, because the original voice was really up in the nose. So I got it out of the nose and into the chest and diaphragm, and that was Lord Zedd. That was my inspiration, was this, this Darth Vader and this... Darth Vader was more not the voice quality, but the voice... Well, maybe the voice quality.
The power behind
not the tone, but the power. The regal stateliness of the character. I figured, you know, he's Lord Zedd. He's a lord. He was knighted by somebody. So he's Lord Zedd. That's where the inspiration came on those two voices.
For me, researching for this panel, going into Robert's history, I was amazed that it was one of your previous roles that you were in, it might have been a minor role, that got me into a fandom when I was younger. That was your voice when you did the English dub for Akira.
Oh, yeah.
So I was happy that you were, in essence, a part of me growing as a fan and being an inspiration, obviously, for a much younger audience now. Are you part of the new rumored Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie that's coming out? Or
No, I haven't been asked anything yet. I don't think Lord Zedd will be in this movie. I think they're concentrating on Rita, judging from the publicity. Though you never know. They like to spring surprises. And you never know.
Would you be willing to bring back the character?
Oh, sure I would. But I don't think they're going to... I don't think they're going to bring the character back intact as the character had been. Because look at the changes they made with Rita Repulsa. She's in green, she's low cut, she's got real breasts instead of those those outrageous cones. Who knows what the liberties they'll take with Lord Zedd, seeing as they've already taken the liberties with Rita. The sky's the limit. So I don't expect them to just have some guy in the costume and me doing the voice. I expect they'll have something different. Whether they use my voice or they hire me as a consultant to train, that's my voice. I own that voice, so they can imitate, but they can't duplicate. Who knows? I'm not counting any. I'm not counting on it. I'm not spending the money. Put it that way.
I know this is strictly Power Rangers based. Once the other two guests arrive, we'll pick it up with them as well. Because you did have a diverse voice acting career.
Yes.
Digimon was after Power Rangers, was it?
Yeah.
What was it like to be, go from one, I won't say hit show, Power Rangers in its way, the original was a hit show, to somewhat of another hit show on Fox? I think Digimon was on Fox, right?
Yeah.
The fans are saying yeah. What was it like being on that show? Again, it was a general
addition? I was a minor. Armadillo Man was kind of a minor character. He didn't have a lot of lines, as I recall. He was in a lot of the action sequences. But I was in the movie. He was in the movie. So he was a status character. And Wizardmon only stuck around for 4 episodes. He was a major character, but he was just in 4 episodes. Just an arc in the show. So what was it like? I almost expected something good to come out of Power Rangers, and that was the good that came out of Power Rangers. We weren't making any residual checks because the show was non-union up until the last 3 episodes, And so that was a little bonus I got from Saban. Actually, I had to audition for Armadillo Man. Oddly enough, I did audition. I didn't have to audition for Wizard Man. They just gave me, Tony Oliver just gave me the role because he knew I could do it. He wanted my voice quality for it. But Armadillo Man, I auditioned for like six of the Mons of the Digimon, the new Digimon that was coming out that season. And Armadillo Man was the worst of the six audition quality-wise that I did. I just kind of threw it away because I didn't really have an idea except that he was from Texas. Armadillo, Texas. Amarillo, Texas, Armadillo, Texas. So I made him kind of like Texas. It was a little drawl. And they loved it. And that's what they went with. So that's happened to me once before when I did a bad audition and everybody else thought it was good. The bobbleheads said yes. The other one was for a part I had in an arc of... what?
Yeah.
Here they are.
Here they are.
Here they're not. Here they are.
And we have...
Here's Vernon.
Here's Vernon Wells and...
Vernon bought the pizza. Let's give him a hand.
I wouldn't bother because none of your shits are getting any. Michael.
He's walking in right now. Full sunglasses. He's gonna be back.
This microphone is not for.
Let me say this, since Mike's here, Matt. if this is the only mistake I make during this panel, let it be that. But I'll say this. Back in December, one of my co-hosts asked me to get better equipment for my show. This, what you see here, the mics, the panel. And during that time, Matt has asked me, he's like, hey, you're going to do a panel at my show this April. It's going to be the Power Rangers panel. I figured three mics would be just fine because it would be me, Robert Axelrod, and Vernon Wells. Then in January, Matt tells me Michael is going to be showing up.
We had four mics.
So I have to buy another mic. So it's all... Because
I'm a mic, too.
I figured I would rule the podcasting world with three mics. Then a Power Ranger has to ruin everything. My evil plans foiled by a Power Ranger.
Blame it on the pizza.
Okay, I'll blame
totally.
It.
By the way, it's good pizza.
Again, let's welcome Vernon Wells and Michael Copan to the panel.
We're not welcoming our friend.
Yeah, he's been warming up the crowd. And
I warmed up.
They're all warmed up now.
Yeah, they look like they need warming up. Seriously. You know what? In any normal society, all of you people would be locked up. Just kidding. You know, like, whoa, right there.
I'm not sense of humor with this crowd.
Oh, sorry. I got to keep my language down.
Now, oh, you can see.
This is a serious crowd. They're into getting information. They're very,
but
I think
it's also a lot of fun. They could say whatever they want.
Fun? Fun crowd, right? Yeah. Yeah. Fun crowd, right? Yeah. Woo!
Have a fun with me. Okay. That died a death of a thousand cuts, didn't it?
Just
is there any napkins, by the way?
Just brief question for
good luck,
Michael and Vernon. Did you want mic covers for your mics, or
is it restroom?
Are you fine?
Oh, sure. Give me the pink, green, pukey one.
I want the blue one.
Which?
Blue Ranger.
Which one?
Of course.
The blue. That's
blue
purple.
Because he's a Blue Ranger.
Say which one.
Is he colorblind?
He said, "Which blue?"
I am. I'm partially colorblind.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Actually,
then that's fine. Then that's why.
Actually,
can't
I should have the black one because I'm able.
All right, I'm cool with that.
It won't fit. You didn't get the gold. You didn't get the gold wrap.
I got the brown one because I'm shitty.
No, you're not, Robert. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not.
Not a lot of women have ever said that.
Doesn't it? Doesn't it? You got to get the bigger ones next time.
Yeah, God, get the super size. Go on. I'm just not used to using them. Isn't that good? They have a competition, actually, of how long any interview I'm doing takes to turn to sex. 30 seconds. We're getting good.
That's how long he lasts, too.
I wouldn't say it's a first for our show. It's first for our panels that we've ever done. And this is the second panel we've ever done. So, thank you, Vernon.
My pleasure. Excuse me, no texting.
Is someone texting?
Just on the kidding.
Since Robert's still catching up and...
Oh, God.
Did I answer the last question correctly?
If you want...
I forget where I lost my train of thought. What was?
You were talking about Digimon for a little bit, but what's it like being a voice actor?
To go from one show to the
other. Yeah, to go from one show...
Yeah. Just to finish that up, I sort of expected it, because Digimon was going into its second season, and there were a whole lot of roles open up for the second season, and I went in just expecting to be doing something on the show, so I got those two roles. And it was like going from one job to another, you know? I mean, back in the old days, when we first started out, we were at Intersound Studios. They had three studios, and we were going literally from Studio A to Studio B to Studio C all in one day, working on this, then, hey, I need you over here for that, I need you over here for this. So we were all used to moving from one thing to the other thing to the other thing, quick, 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 with a 10-minute break or a half an hour break for lunch. So we were used to that sort of thing, being ready to change and start on the dime and stop on the dime.
Didn't change much.
Yeah.
We still had the same shit.
Yep.
Now that he's here, I'd also like to thank... It's a great honor to have everybody here. To me, it's especially a good honor to have Vernon Wells here, because I grew up, like a good portion of you, growing up with a lot of what Vernon has done, from the Power Rangers to Mad Max to...
Robbery, sex, rape. You know, just the normal crap you grow up with. What can I say? I've corrupted a whole two generations. I can be proud of that.
And what did you do in your life, young man?
Ooh, I corrupted a lot.
Welcome to heaven.
Well, if I go the other way, we go, congratulations. You did a really good job for us.
Did you have to spend a while in the chair for all the makeup and time force, or was it just...
Yeah. Actually, it was like about 2 to 3 hours.
We'd be done shooting and still be in makeup.
They'd be out shooting scenes, and I'd still be like... Ugh. Yeah. But taking it off was about 2 to 3 minutes. They hated me.
I was about to say that, 2 or 3 hours to put it on and maybe about 30 seconds to take it off.
I used to destroy it every day, but it wasn't so bad once we sort of got it down to a fine art after a few months. It was just the first couple of months trying to understand putting the makeup on. And the weird thing about it was, because it covered my eye, when they took it off, I was actually blind. I couldn't see at all because... Your brain compensates through your right eye, because I couldn't see out of my left eye at all. So when they suddenly took the makeup off my left eye, my brain just went, and I couldn't see for about 15 minutes. And the first time it happened, I freaked out totally, because I actually thought I was blind. I was like, ah! Like, people came running from everywhere to see if I was all right, and I was like, I'm blind.
We used to play tricks with him. We'd be like, Brunin!
Yeah.
And he couldn't see us.
I think I'd stay that way. Please don't let it come back. But no, it was fun. I enjoyed it. The worst makeup was the three episodes they did, the flashback episodes of...
The makeup you got today is pretty bad, so...
The which?
The makeup you have on right now,
I know,
is pretty bad.
It's worse than that. Yeah. It takes a lot less time. But yeah, the flashback episodes they did, where they had all the my side of my face destroyed. That was very uncomfortable and not nice, but you know, and every time I blew my nose, I never knew what was going to happen. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. Apart from him.
As you can tell, with Time Force, we like to tease each other.
We're still
like that. We're missing Jason and Aaron, and we love it when we're all together.
Cause and
then
Danny.
It's a hoot.
We're all just idiots. We just carry on. Like, I think the funnest thing we ever did, were you on that panel, the After Hours panel?
Oh, yeah.
They asked
us
who we all wanted to go to bed with on the show.
Yeah.
And Aaron was sitting at the end of the table, and there's like five of us, and they went, someone said, in the show, guys, which one of the girls did you really want to go to bed with? And everybody went, poor Aaron's at the end of looking at us. Like, it's kind of fun. We're a mean lot. More questions?
We kind of heard from Robert, but from you, Vernon, Michael, were you two just went for an audition or were you just picked for it?
I actually auditioned for it four times, which amazes me. I didn't want to do it originally because I was working in Las Vegas doing a talk show. And they flew me back to Los Angeles. I had no idea what Power Rangers was, number one. And I walked into a room very similar to this with as many people in it, and they were all people I'd seen on television, like from all these different shows. And I was like, what the hell am I doing here? And I walked into the audition, and I'd done a film about 6 months earlier, and I'd worked with a Japanese stunt team. And the guy in charge of all the Japanese stunt team was Koichi. And who is just a wonderful, wonderful man. And I walked into the audition, and sitting right there, dead center, was Koichi. And I went, what the hell are you doing here? And he was like the director and one of the producers, wasn't he, on the show. So I did the first audition with all these people in the room. I figured that I didn't stand a chance. I left and went back to Las Vegas. 2 days later, I got asked to come back and do a second audition to a smaller group of people. And I thought, I'm not going to get it. I went back, and then they asked me to come back once more, and they said the executive producer, Jonathan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan had been sick and hadn't seen any auditions, so he wanted to see the final auditions. And I did a final audition for Jonathan, and lo and behold, the next thing, they rang up and said, we need you to come in for a wardrobe fitting, it's yours. Mm-hmm. Wow. So that was basically how I got it. Which was kind of fun, and I didn't have a clue who any of these were. And when I turned up on set the first morning, we were shooting on location. And as I was walking down through all the caravans trying to find my caravan, Erin Cahill opened the door of her caravan, saw me walking down between, ran over, leapt into my arms, put her legs around my waist and held her arms around my neck and looked me in the eyes and said, who are you? And I figured who she was, and I went, I'm the asshole that kills your boyfriend. And she went, I don't like you. I went back to her caravan, and I went, oh, this is going to be so much fun. So that was my introduction.
Mine was pretty cool, pretty cool story, because for any of you guys who are probably aspiring actors, I've probably got one of those stories that might give you a little hope. From a little town in Virginia, Chesapeake, a little town called Deep Creek, and didn't know anything about the world. It was before Google and Yahoo, so I went to L.A., didn't know what Louis Vuitton want. I thought it was like Louis Vuitton, and didn't know what a BMW was because no one where I was from even drove a BMW, but you get to L.A. and there's like the Honda Civic, you know? But I went to L.A., and I started off modeling. And, you know, it's tough to get jobs just in general. Plus, they start racking up prices on your model apartment. So I ended up moving into my car. I was living in my 1982 Toyota pickup truck. So I actually, for 7 months, I was living in my truck until I auditioned for Power Rangers. And I actually slept outside of the place where we auditioned that night. Yeah, in my pickup truck. But I had like a twin mattress in the camper shell, you know, so it wasn't that bad. I mean, at least I had a mattress back there. But went upstairs and used the bathroom to kind of brush my teeth and shower. Or not shower, but, you know, like wash up, clean up a little bit. Yeah. And then went in and auditioned, and it was my first acting audition ever, ever. Never did high school theater or anything like that. Just kind of said, hey, let me just give this a shot, since the commercial agency of LA Models was saying, hey, you got a lot of charisma, maybe you should think about acting. So before, I didn't even know you could act. I was like, wow, you can act to be in movies and TV? And they were like, Mike, this is Hollywood. What do you think? but from where I'm from, I didn't know that was possible. I thought people just got picked to be in some sort of movies or something. So I went in. The character had it was an audition against a father and a son. And I had a lot of situations, like most people, with my father figure and stuff like that. So I kind of related to the scene. And it was real to me, and I gave it my all. Next thing you know, callback after callback, and then screen tests, I beat out 10,000 people and became the Blue Power Ranger. It was my first job, and then that was thank you so much. And that put me in my first apartment, and I learned acting on that set. So people like Vernon and Jason, who was the Red Ranger, they were like big brothers of mine who kind of taught me, like, how the industry really worked. And that's where I caught the bug of actually producing and filming as well, because I was always with the crew, and they were so nice to teach us, like, why they're using this lens versus that lens and how to light a scene. So it was like a really family environment, and we've all said that, because the Time Force cast has really stuck together. But even outside of that, the crew was just phenomenal. I've been on so many other sets, and it's like the crew is sometimes like, hey, leave us alone, we're trying to set up. This one was like a family. Like, yeah, you want to look through the camera and move it? And they let us operate the camera. And, it's just like a really great learning experience. So I was blessed to be a part of this show. So for me to be here, I'm thankful for you guys who have created that process for us to be on the show. But it was also it's what created where I'm at today, which is directing and producing and acting as well. So. Yeah, that's how I got the show.
Note, he doesn't hire his friends.
I got to give you my business card.
obviously,
you have a list of questions.
Yeah, just for my my sake mostly. Right. Since the show spanned several incarnations and being popular with majority of the youth in each incarnation, seeing yourselves as toys and part of video games, what is that feeling with you guys? Going into a place like Toys R Us or something equivalent and seeing yourself as a toy?
Well, for me, I'll say this. I watched Mighty Morphin like a diehard fan when I was a kid. I even drew pictures of the Mighty Morphin Rangers for my brothers because I'm an artist as well. And then I ended up becoming a Power Ranger. So that, with playing Mario Kart and 007 on the N64, like I had no other life. I play video games like crazy, so to actually do the voiceover of myself in a video game was just crazy. I still have the PlayStation game at home, and for me, I'm a gamer myself, so it was like, yeah, it's a dream come true. Like, you know what I mean? I mean, of course, I want to be Iron Man. That'd be another great thing. I want to play another superhero eventually, but But I loved the fact that I'm a Power Ranger and was able to be in video games and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it was cool. I mean, I think probably the worst aspect of all that is that we all had. I think I had more bloody things done of me than any of you. I had all these little doll things done. We never got paid for it.
No.
And I think that was what sucked the worst, is that we got used and abused pretty much on that show. And I'm not being mean. We love the show, don't get me wrong. The producers were wonderful, most of them. The cast was amazing, and the crew was just out of control. But still in all, myself, I know what it's like in the business, but for Michael and none of the kids that were in it really had done anything. I don't even think Jason had.
That's what I'm saying. He had done maybe a couple episodes.
Yeah, new, and they really got used, and I think it sucked, to be blunt. And yet they did an amazing job, and they all always had a smile, and they always got out there and did their job. But we didn't get anything for the games or anything. I voiced my own game. I even... Did you voice the big truck they had that had the big game in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We all...
That's our voices in the game. But like you said, now as a businessman myself, when I'm cutting it, I'm actually, as some of you might know, I'm producing that Power Ranger-esque film.
But I'm doing a deal right now with Bandai, and I'm working out that stuff right now. So I'm realizing how much we got screwed as talent. And like I said, it was a take it or leave it contract. So it does suck, but at the same time.
And you learn.
You learn, yeah.
It's that simple. You learn the ropes. You learn what's going on. I think the great thing about, we were fortunate on our show. Number one, I was in it, which I'm an established actor. We had another established actor in it, Jason's father. God, I can never think of his name.
Edward James.
Edward, his father's got a big business with animal food. But he passed away a few years ago. He was a great actor, and the scripts that they wrote for that series were a lot better than the scripts they wrote for a lot of the other series, because they had that two established actors that they could work off.
Yeah.
Which was really cool. And then the whole cast, it was always this fun thing when I was on the set. It was who can pee up the wall the highest. It was just they would come out and they would try to cream me. Seriously, if I was in a scene with them, they were going to be better than I could ever be. And it was just so much fun that you could get out there and sort of go for it with these guys, and they would all give it back to you. And I just loved it. I had so much fun doing it. And we had, regardless of what we did, we had 20 years nearly of you guys, didn't we, behind us?
Yeah. At the time, we were we were like the 10th season.
10th. Well, they had nine years or something. Yeah. Of people before us, which had built up that amazing following. And we were just coming in on top of that, which I think was amazing to be involved in it. And the fun thing that happened to me was I was in Japan, and I was talking to some kids who were Power Ranger fanatics. And I said, yeah, I'm famous in America for killing a Red Ranger. And they just looked at me and they went, we kill one every week. And I went, oh. Okay. There goes my joy. Yeah, we thought we were being really... I think we killed one Red Ranger. They kill a Ranger every week over there. It's like, yeah, we just kill one every week.
I'm going to ask one last question before I open it up to the audience. This is for everybody. Was there any stigmata coming off the Power Rangers show, or
stigmata?
Stigma coming off the show.
For a while, and I think to this day, I get so typed, as Lord said, that people don't want to hire me. Just say, oh, we don't need Lord Zed on Lord Zed voice on this show. And I haven't worked in voiceovers for years. I've been doing all on camera, which suits me fine. Because I did my thing in the voice. I needed to get a... I'm actually a regular on one show, but that only happens 3 or 4 times a year on camera. But it's all good. I'm starting to get more auditions now for voiceover stuff, so it'll open up again, I think.
I think we all suffered a little bit, but not. I didn't suffer from being on the show. I think I was too established. I'd been through that. For about 6 years, everybody thought the only thing I could do was Road Warrior. Whenever I went for an audition, people would look at me and they'd go, yeah, love what you do, but you're probably going to be the one that kills the grandmother and rapes their dog. You know, it was this whole... It was like, excuse me, I'm sorry. They couldn't get past it, and it took a long time for me to be able to do other things. And the nice thing about doing Power Rangers for me was that people saw me not trying to kill all the kids, having fun with the kids. But I think for about 2 years, 3 years before it really became famous, you know, it was like nobody was sort of taking any interest. And then all of a sudden, in all of us, it was just suddenly it was like Power Rangers, and we were like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What happened? But like suddenly everybody wanted to see us, which I think is great, but I don't think we ever got a stigma from it, just kind of, you know.
Yeah. I think maybe the originals probably suffered more than me, because when I was on it, like you said, it wasn't as popular as it was. I think after Turbo kind of died down, like on a global level, And just recently, especially in the past 5 years, it's really catapulted back almost to where it was in the original days. So when I got off the show, actually, it didn't hurt or help me, really. I mean, I would go into auditions. When I auditioned for a lot of these things, it was like, okay, you're a Power Ranger. I think the only thing it helped was that they saw that I've done multiple episodes as an actor. So, I mean, that was, they just want to know, like, okay, he can manage well on a set and not get fired. But it wasn't like, oh, he was a Power Ranger, let's hire him. So yeah, for me it didn't really help or hurt me at the end of the day, but nowadays it's definitely helping me a lot, and especially my ability to come to these conventions where because you guys are so loyal to us, that you guys want to see us, so people fly us out so that, you know, we can meet you guys, you know. And that's pretty much like the best thing
about it, right? Take the shit out of you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to open it up to you, the audience. Who's first? Who wants to say anything? I'm just going to turn this around so it picks up you guys better.
Ooh,
so
the pink one. Ooh. Who's going
to
be
first? Who wants to be
first?
You in the back, blue shirt.
Speak up so the mic picks you up.
Okay. What do you guys think about Power Rangers kind of stuff that are being created now, like Power Rangers that are being
I like the I thought the Rita costume was interesting. I mean, I kind of wanted to at least see some horns or something related to the original. I think a lot of people felt the same way. I'm hoping Lionsgate does a really good job with it. At first I thought it was going to be more of like a Twilight version of Power Rangers, or it's looking like they probably listen to a lot of people, and they're making some good moves. I heard there's a trailer. Someone told me there was a trailer at my table. I haven't seen it yet. Have you guys seen the trailer for it yet? Apparently there's some sort of like leaked trailer. So I'm like waiting until I get service so I can actually go look that up. I'm a fan just as much as I am a Ranger. So I'm excited about it. And I'm excited about, I don't know if any of you guys have helped with our campaign with the Power Ranger film that I'm doing, but it's more like a Pacific Rim meets Guardians of the Galaxy. But we've really developed that now, and we're close to three big funders right now. It's at a $10.2 million budget. So I should know any time now whether we're going to press go with that. And I have 23 original Power Rangers in the film, along with a lot of the villains as well.
Michael, so is there an Indiegogo or a Kickstarter with that?
There was, but we weren't successful in raising all the capital. We raised about $14,000, which I used to start the initial drawings and put the package together for the investors. Right now we have actually, if you guys are basketball fans, Nick Van Axel, his company his company in Texas is one of the companies is looking into it. But there's two other companies right now. So we're at a $10.2 million budget, and the crew that did the Power/Ranger film, a lot of this, the sound score and the CGI team have come on board as well with me. So we're excited about putting that together. I don't put a lot of stuff online because I like to keep things somewhat quiet until it's ready to go. But super excited. It's called Dawn of Destiny now. Like I said, it's Guardians of the Galaxy feel with Pacific Rim. Just you're going to see Power Rangers in it. So I'm hoping that would be more targeted towards the fans, since I don't think Lionsgate is putting any of us original people in the film.
No. Who's next?
Wow, don't all rush the microphone.
I have a question for Michael.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Oh, cut it out. Let him ask his question.
I usually ask this for, I've met some of the other Rangers I've met off to St. John and stuff. Do you ever, because I know a lot of the Rangers have, you know, their Ranger helmets.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever just, like, wear that around your house?
Sometimes when I'm naked, yes. No. Sometimes when I'm intoxicated, it tends to fall on my head, so, and going along with some dance moves, yeah, pretty. That's probably the only time I wear it. But these remakes were made to a mold of a 5'3" Asian man, so it doesn't quite fit my head.
It's close to me.
Yeah, they
5'4".
So on me it looks like a little child helmet on, but it's still fun to put on. Like I said, I got a suit made too. We put it on from time to time, but I just don't look the same in it. I look like I should have a cigarette and be like, "Hey kids, how you doing? I'm a Power Ranger. What do you want? You want some candy or something? Get out of here." So, not the same as when I was 18.
Just one more from me. What is the appeal of, for those who are not fans, what is the appeal of the Power Rangers? Because from someone who was a casual fan of the Power Rangers, it seemed like it had an old-school Godzilla film feel, a.k.a. Toho feel to it, mm-hmm. which kind of brings in that kind of fandom. Is mm-hmm. that what the appeal is, or...?
I think the appeal is just this superhero world. I think just in general, a lot of them, like superheroes, what I've learned through Comic Cons is that we've given a lot of you guys hope and education on how to be a great human being and how to have great morals in life. I think that's the greatest thing I've taken away from a lot of our fans is that they kept watching our shows because it was something that was positive and uplifting, and it didn't follow the trend of the world and society, you know, and it kept giving them something of hope and positivity to follow through. And I've heard a lot of fans say to me, like, "You've really, you know, fathered me or educated or big brothered my life through these years." And I thought that's just the coolest thing. And I relate to that because growing up, not just with Power Rangers, but also Superman and Batman and, you know, Spider-Man, all these things, and X-Men, I used to love comic books and drawing as well, so from I understand that, you know, because you know everybody dreams of being that good guy, that good superhero guy, you know, and except for Vernon,
Vernon is shaking his head no.
Except for Vernon, well, when you come out the butthole,
yeah, but you said something that really intrigued me. You said that you get a lot of these kids saying, "You fathered me," and I'm thinking, yep, that's Michael.
Yeah, that's funny.
I think that it resonates with people more with the adults that have children, because Power Rangers had an innocence about it. Nobody ever got killed. You know, there's all these explosions when, you know, the Power Rangers start decimating all the villains' sidekicks. But they all get up and run away, you know? There's no blood to speak of in the show. And as Michael was saying, it had good moral value. And I think more than anything, parents would sit their kids in front of the television and go, "Here, watch this." And it was Time Force or Power Rangers. And it was something that people could watch without having to go, "Oh my God, there's a pair of boobs there," or "There's this." You didn't have any of those fears, and I think that was the main thing about it that got people so into it. And then, of course, the kids get hooked on it, and they want to see it, and it's generational. You know, your kids see it, so when they have kids, they sort of, if it's still going, they mention it to them, and they put their kids in front of the TV, and they watch it.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's become, what, in Japan, it's in its 25th year or something?
30, just, I think.
Or 30th 30, year, 30. It's been going forever.
No, probably even more, because it was 20 years before the Mighty Morphin started. They took 20 years of footage and created Mighty Morphin.
Well, there you go. It's been there for a long time, and I think it's the
moral values. Is that right? That's right, right? I mean, about 15? Yep. I know it was something like that, 15 or 20 years before they even showed
Mighty Morphin. So it's all those moral values that it brings forth, and the... You know, and I think it's fun. You know, you watch that show, everybody in it's having fun. The villains are having fun. I mean, even the crusty old ones, they're all having fun. We're all enjoying ourselves, and I think that comes across as much. And always the villain gets stopped in his evil plan, no matter what, you know. It's one of those old, harking back to the old days when you went to see the movies on a Saturday at the Saturday matinee, you know, Batman and Superman, and they always ended in a cliffhanger, you know, "Will Superman survive?" Of course he's going to survive, you dumbass. He's going to be there next week.
We should do a season where the bad guy wins the first episode. It's like,
you know, Lord Zed used to win, they used to win little things.
Yeah.
There's one episode where they says the power coins, they got the power coins, I screened in one of my panels. They lost the Zords, but they retained the power coins. So the Power Rangers were weakened. So
yeah.
The Power Rangers had to get back their power coins.
This was that's right.
Season
yeah.
two, I think it was. Season three. Oh, my God.
That's
just an example. They used to win little...
Little bits.
Win some bits here and there, so it made it more real.
Yes, I won the odd little thing. Very little.
Any more questions?
Yeah, any more? Don't be shy.
Yeah.
Be shy.
Whatever your old collective experience was throughout all this, when you were leaving it, I guess, was that kind of like a bittersweet experience? Going forward to your next venture, I guess? I know we kind of touched on that, but just from all three of you in general.
Oh. For me, it was... I didn't like the ending. If the ending he went out with a bang, I would have liked it more. But he went out with getting switched to a human being and loving it was not my idea for Lord Zedd. But driving off in a convertible with the new reader. That's not too bad. No, it's. But they used the guy, the stunt. They didn't use me for that. They used the stuntman in the suit for that. So, anyway, I would have preferred him going out with a bang instead of a whimper.
I think when we all left, it's funny, when you do a film or something, when it's over, you always say to everybody, you go around, you say goodbye to everybody, you always say, you know, we've got to catch up, we'll have to have lunch, you know, give me a call, we'll do lunch or something. Never happens. The minute you walk off the set and walk away, everybody forgets who everybody else was. You can't even remember their names. We did the same thing on Power Rangers, but we're all so close we did it, which I think was the thing about it. None of us actually left Power Rangers. We all just moved on to a different thing. We all stayed together.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Because every other show, like, I've left, and I'm sure he has. I don't talk to any of them as well. But I still always kept in touch with Jason and somehow Vernon as well. It's really cool that way.
We're all kind of, for some reason, I don't know why, that cast just gelled for some reason. And we all just hang out, and we still have a lot of fun together, which is so much fun when we're all together. Just to give you an example of how stupid this lot are, we were doing a convention, and for some reason they had all the Power Rangers from Time Force together, and they had me at the other side of the convention hall. Daniel and Michael came over and they went, "What are you doing over here?" And I went, "New."
I was like, "Who planned this?
This is where they put me." And they went, "This is ridiculous. You should be over there with us." And I said, "Well, I don't know. Well, why don't we ask them?" And so they went up to the management and they went, "Well, yeah, well, you know, we can't sort of, someone won't move and we can't put them in. So we'll try to get it organized by tomorrow." And these two came over, they picked up my desk above their heads, and they walked through the crowd carrying my desk all the way over. And they moved, instead of the desk being this way, they moved two of them sideways, and they put me in the middle.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it. It was like, "You're there, dude."
Yeah, it was like, he's like, you know, family team. It's like, how is he over there? So me and Dan are like, "Man, forget this shit. Like, come on." But you know me, I'm like a rebel now. I don't care. I was like, I'm one of those guys that ask for forgiveness as opposed to ask for permission. So
yeah, it's fun. Like, your question is that, leaving was kind of a little bit sad in its own way because we had all been together for so long, but it never ended for us. You know, we still get together, we still see each other, and we still have that same unity, which I think is what the show is about, and we kind of prove it that we still have that unity now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I just to real touch on it, I mean, for me, I was 18 years old. I was 17 before. They waited till I turned 18 to even shoot the show because they didn't want to pay me as a child. But
they paid you?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't get the bonus?
Yeah, right.
Sorry. No, I'm just kidding. I wish I did. But anyways, it was emotional for me because I had never experienced friendship or this much excitement in my life, other than my family. But, you know, growing up in a small town, you kind of have friends through the football team. And but this was like, oh, my God. Like how literally said, Aaron just jumped on him. Same thing for me. Like, every day I see Aaron is like, hug me, kiss me. Oh, my God, I love you. And her mom would kiss me. And it's like me and Jason would always wrestle each other. It's like every morning was like this just really weird best friendship. I was like, and then it was going. We're like, oh, my God, are we gonna... So yeah, pretty much we're gay. So no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it was really hard to leave everybody. But I just knew, I was excited for the future of my career. But at the same time, I just didn't want to lose sight of like that friendship, you know. And I think all of us felt the same.
I'll take one last question from the audience, and we'll get the information off of my guests here or everybody's guests. That way, they can set up for the next panel. Yeah. Who's next? Yes.
My question is about conventions. At least for me, it seems like they're kind of a new thing. I don't know if they really are. I mean, 2008, that kind of stuff is when I started noticing them. So I was just curious, when was your first convention and what kind of experience was it for you? Because it seems like it's a very different thing than acting, because you're not so like socializing with everybody.
Yeah,
so
it's harder than acting.
2008 was my first convention, and it was... God,
I'm an oldie, aren't I?
Yeah, he's a veteran.
I kind of went in there wide-eyed. It blew my mind. My girlfriend at the time talked me into doing conventions. I said to her, nobody remembers Lord Zedd anymore. This was years ago. I don't want to go back in time and try to resurrect that kind of thing. And she said, you're crazy. Go do it. So she booked me on one convention, and I was hooked. I couldn't believe it. All the fans, very devoted, and very, wow, you made my childhood. It was wonderful. And so from then on, I started doing the conventions. It's I'll do about 18 this year, I think.
That's how mine was like that too. I did my first one in Minneapolis. It was an anime convention with Jason. And I literally had one photo. I didn't even have a banner yet, so it's just like just my name.
Oh,
and
I remember that.
So I mean, I also knew at it, and I had like one photo and my name, and yeah, it was a really, I think 2012, yeah, 2012 or 13, one of those years. So I've only been doing it for like 3-4 years. But yeah, that was my first experience, and it started blowing up just recently. So I didn't think people cared about Power Rangers either. Like, I didn't think that they cared about it as much as they do now. And then I saw how big it blew up through the social media. And some of my other stuff, too, like the That's So Raven. I did that one episode, and that thing blew up, and there's memes of me as a boy band member. Even in the Super Bowl, Fox News posted about that we should have been their halftime performance. And it got like 700,000 reshares and likes. I was like, it's crazy what social media does. But, the convention thing is awesome. You know, it gives us the time to, you know, focus on things that we, you know, want to do. And some of us, this is our full-time job outside of doing what we love to do, which is, you know, act or produce or whatever the case is. You know, that takes the stress off a little bit of, like, having to just go in and, you know, sometimes before I started doing conventions, auditioning was, like, seemed like, I was like, I don't know, you just kind of lost the love to go audition because it was more about, I need this job so I can pay my rent. And, you know, it became more of that thing because an actor's life sometimes is struggle. It's up and down. So I think these conventions, it really does help us a lot, yeah.
Yeah, I'm the oldie here. Sheesh. I started doing conventions quite a few years ago. But
your first one was with Jesus, right?
Yes. Yeah. Him and I did our first one, and, you know, he kept saying to me, dude, you've got it made. You've got to do this shit, you know? They need good and evil, dude. He won't come up. I need you. So actually... I did my first convention quite back in the 90s. And actually, the funny thing was that when I was asked to do it, I had no idea what it was, like everybody. But when I went to it, I wasn't selling my photos. I was actually giving them away. Because I didn't figure that anybody wanted to buy anything I signed. And one of the guys at the convention, I won't mention his name, but a very large actor in the genre of horror movies, walked up to my table and said, "May I speak to you for a minute outside?" And I went, "Sure." And I thought, "Oh, he's going to offer me a movie." And I walked outside and he said, "Unless you want your ass kicked real bad, start selling your photos." And I went, "What?" He said, "Dude, the reason you have so many people is you're giving it away and we're selling them and we're not making any money. So get with the program." And I went, "Well, that's the end of my day." So I started, and I was selling them for basically nothing. And it just dawned on me that people actually wanted to come along and talk to me and buy an autograph. And I found it humbling, to be blunt. I still get embarrassed. You've got no idea, because I think we all do, because people come up and say things to you that, you know, they'll come up and say, "Oh my God, you know, you have no idea how you've affected my childhood or affected things. I was on the path to basic being suicide. And, you know, just the things that you've done made me realize that I don't have to do that." And that is really humbling when you sort of sit there and think, "Dear God, I had no idea that I affected anybody this way. And it's not me personally. It's something that I've done on screen that has affected this person, which means that what I did on screen was powerful enough to actually get to them." And that is really amazing to even think about as an actor. And it's all because of when we come to these conventions, all you people, you are actually what keep us in business. And I don't care what anybody thinks. Michael's in business because of you. Mm-hmm. Lord Zed's in business because of you. I'm in business because of you, because you like what we do. None of us, Michael, Robert, or myself, would be here if you people went.
Yeah.
That would be the end of it. Seriously, our career, not just the conventions, our career on the whole would be over, because nobody would care. But
if no one went to movies, if no one you know, rented movies, if no one...
So you're the guys we should be clapping. Mm. You shouldn't be clapping us. We should be clapping you because you stay with us.
You
and we like
this
that.
Possible.
We like that. And, you know, I think it's just wonderful that people appreciate what we do, regardless of whether it's big, small, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or today. The fact that you remember and appreciate, that is what counts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, to you guys, thank you.
Thank you.
That being said, we're going to end the show. I'd like to thank Vernon Wells, Robert Axelrod, and Michael Copan for being. Where can we find you guys on other than Facebook, if you want to promote?
We're not telling you.
Okay. If there anything you guys want to plug
Wix.
Or either way. So
yeah, I'm just Instagram.
I'm on Wix.
What's
Wix?
Wix?
Wix.
What's Wix?
That's a website.
Wix. Yeah.
Thing that you can do.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook and IMDb. Facebook. If you want to see what I'm doing, go on to IMDb.
Yeah, IMDb and Instagram is what I pretty much use. If you guys want to.
Or Facebook, just message me. I'll answer you sometime.
Yeah.
Again, thank you guys for being part of this panel and being on my show.
Yeah.
Again, thank you guys for being here at 4State Retro Comic and Pop Culture Con.
We're doing autographs next door. So
yeah, they see them next door.
I've seen all of you a lot.
This show will be the this show will be the first one down put up on Monday night at our. We're found on iTunes and Twitter. On Twitter, iTunes and Google Play. Our website is longcoatmafia.podbean.com. I got flyers here. You're more than willing to take one. Like I said, the episode will be dropped on Monday, and I'll give you guys the links once it drops.
Okay.
So, again, thank you all, and thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, by the way, if you've got any more questions, please don't bug the shit out of us. Just kidding. God.
Again, that was the Power Rangers panel with Michael Copan, Robert Axelrod, and Vernon Wells. We at the Long Coat Mafia podcast hope you enjoyed the panel. As we stated, the show is always found on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio. Our email address is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. Our Facebook page is Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Our Twitter and Instagram is both Long Coat Mafia. If you have any questions, comments, or smart remarks, you're more than welcome to send them all to us via email or our usual social media outlets. And we would also like to thank Matt. We can't thank Matt and those at the 4-State Retro Pop Culture and Comic Con enough for letting us help out, be at the show, and be a part of the show. And we hope to see them either later this year or next year, whenever the next 4-State Retro Pop Culture and Comic Con is. We would like to be a part of it again. Thank you guys so much. We're out.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.